And so we're going to start back off here in 12 verse 15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Now, we learned last week that falling short of the grace of God is unbelief. That's how you fall short of the grace. That's how we always say, well, they fell from grace. Just because somebody messed up doesn't mean they fell from grace. You can fall from grace and be sitting, excluding her, sit on the front row. We all have those moments of doubt, don't we? A little bit of unbelief. God, how are you? How? That's our number one question. How are you going to do it? It'd be easier to ask him, how did you create man? Well, a little bit of spit and some dirt, and he threw us together. We want to know all that. And sometimes it's hard, and especially when we have our kids, and then we learn, and you know, I'm learning now with the grandkids. It's hard to let them go. But I'm here to tell you, even with what I'm seeing with my own children, trust God, and you cannot protect them always. You just can't. You have to trust God. Lord, I thank you that your hand is on my children. They never leave your sight, no matter where they're at. So we can thank God for that. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. This root of bitterness, this is where we were trying to get to the whole time. This root of bitterness, because I'm like, Lord, when I read this with our daily time of looking, reading the scripture and discussing back and forth, it's like that just jumped out on the page at me. And I'm like, Lord, why? What is a root of bitterness? Lest we become defiled by it. Now, you know, I know why God had me chase this down. So y'all, most of y'all saw me come in with a prop this morning. Many people asking, what's that for? Well, let me tell you. You probably wouldn't recognize it because it's small. This is a root of bitterness. This is a root of bittersweet. Right here is the problem. These aren't the problem. Here's the problem. I have cut this thing out every year for 10 years, and it comes back. Why? Because I miss a piece. And when we bought the farm, the west end of our barn was completely covered in this, so much so that it rubbed the paint off. The north side of the barn was so covered, there was a door we never knew existed. And we didn't know how bad the siding was until we pulled it all off. And they're like, wow, there's some holes in that siding. This stuff is invasive. If you go down south, they have what we call kudzu. Somebody thought it was a great idea to bring it from Vietnam, Southeast Asia. Big mistake. Anybody says, bring this plant in, it'll be good? No. I don't know where it came from, don't really care. It can go back to hell, I think, where it came from. It is miserable to try to maintain. Like I said, my entire barn was covered with it on the north and the west sides. And it was coming around the east. And I've got a spot that grows by my shed, and I bring the choppers in and get it. And then two years ago, I realized we had flowers here. There's no more flowers here. There's this big, wily bush. You couldn't even see the planter that I had on the telephone pole. And so this stuff has taken over. Now, when I know you're saying, well, that's bittersweet. What are you talking about, a root of bitterness? Well, let me explain again. If you leave one piece of it in the ground, it'll come back. I have poisoned and poisoned the starts every year, all the way around that barn. And like, I'm getting kind of tired of doing it. But I don't want my barn covered in that stuff. Vines growing on houses and buildings are destructive. In the event you did not know that, Oh, that's a pretty brick house with that English ivy growing up the side. It's eating your mortar. It will cause problems. So will a root. If you miss one little bit of that root, the word in the Greek for bitterness here is pikria. And if I want to roll my tongue, pikria. There's another word that's similar to it, pikra, which is where we get wormwood. Most of you know that one. You've heard of wormwood. It's in Revelation. It's even actually in Deuteronomy 29:18, which is also the place where it talks about the root of bitterness. It's the only two places in the Bible that it talks about a root of bitterness, is Hebrews and Deuteronomy. And it means bitterness. But the thing is, when he says wormwood, it also means poison. The writer is warning us to be careful of not trusting God, of showing disbelief in God, lest any root rise up. In the biblical definition of it, it's a feeling of anger and resentment that is unresolved and unforgiven, often at the feeling of being disappointed or treated unfairly. Now, can anybody relate? Everybody can. At some point, you felt like you got the shaft. Somebody did you wrong. That's where it starts. The children of Israel felt that Moses had done them wrong. Every time something went sideways, they whined and complained. They had no faith in God. You remember how Moses developed his faith in God? This is a man who's out tending sheep. He is knocking on 80 years old. And he's looking for some sheep that wandered off. Goes by this bush, and he's looking at it. Spontaneous combustion wasn't an uncommon thing. It's so dry and arid that the heat, and finally, except he's watching the flames surround this bush, and this bush is not being consumed. He looks, thinks about going to look for the sheep, and he's like, I gotta check this thing out. He gets close to it, and God speaks to him, and he said, that's close enough. Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. A bush is talking to me. A bush that is burning, but not burning, is talking to me. Some of us might be wondering, what did I eat or ingest that is creating this? And God proceeds to tell him what he's going to do for him and how he's going to take him, a stutterer, and lead the children of Israel out of bondage. That moment, it was counted righteousness. It was counted faith when he turned away from what everybody else would have thought he should have been doing, and he turned to God. And God told him the rest of his life, this is what you're going to do. Crazy part is, he went and did it. But I stutter, Lord. Well, let Aaron speak. He's pretty good. Goes back, and again, I pointed this out the other day. How many times did Aaron actually speak? Not enough to consider him the mouthpiece. God dealt with a fear that he had. But from that point on, Abraham never doubted God. He never doubted God, so to the point that when God was ticked off at them, and God was going to go and wipe them out, Moses said, you're going to take me out too, and you're going to remove my name from your book of life. Why did God stop? That seems a little defiant, doesn't it? Because Moses had spent time getting to know God. God's desire was to bring a promise to fruition for Abraham. Nearly 400 years later, he wanted that promise. And so he knew God would not kill them. God was just ticked. Sometimes we all need to be a little bit weary of that. Like, yep. But Moses was willing to put his life on the line several times. And that's why, again, in Deuteronomy 29:18, the children of Israel were warned not to go into the same things that they saw, to be free, to be separate from it, to be clean from that. Lest any of these roots of bitterness, these poisons. We get these poisons by listening to what other people tell us about God. God's an angry God. He's just waiting to smite us. Sinners, disobedient, they're going to get their butt kicked. Yeah. We will deal with repercussions of things that we do in disobedience to God. I don't care who tells you you don't deal with it. You will always deal with it. You step out on your wife. You have another baby with another woman. You're going to deal with that the rest of your life. Because you're now going to have to deal with her. Because she feels betrayed. You're going to have to deal with that with your children with her. They're going to be ticked. You didn't show them enough attention to begin with. We deal with the repercussions of things we do, and especially when we disobey God. If we zig when God said zag, why do you think he said zag? I don't want you going that way. That's where the truck was coming. And so now when you get hit, you get to walk with a limp. Oh, but I'm, bless God, I'm not going to have to deal with it. Tell that to Jacob. He was wrestling with God, and God reached up, and it says Jacob was winning. Think about that for a minute. I mean, I still can't wrap my head around it. He's wrestling the angel of the Lord, Jesus, in the Old Testament, and he's winning. This is Jacob, the one we all call the little homemaker, because he wasn't as hairy as his brother. He wasn't as wild as his brother. But yet he's wrestling the angel of the Lord and winning. And the angel reaches up, pop, tops him on his hip, and I gotta let go. And he walked with a limp the rest of his life. Why? He was told to let go. No, not until you bless me. You're already blessed, dude. But all right, I'm going to bless you, but that's for disobeying. You don't have to agree with me. Just look at your word. It's there. Now, bitterness leads to full-on disobedience because the children of Israel would not enter the land, right? They all died. Their part, they died. And the children, they said, oh, they're going to beat up our kids. They're going to take their lunch money. We can't protect them. You're right. Because they're not going to take their lunch money. They're not going to beat up on them. If they are obedient, they will possess the land. Cain and Abel is an excellent example. God comes down to Cain, you know, little backstory. Cain and Abel are making offerings. Cain feels a little slighted. He's a little resentful. God is happy with his, but not quite so happy with Cain's. And God comes to him. How would you like for that? I mean, he didn't just send a preacher to you. He didn't send a prophet. God himself came to Cain. He said, Cain, why are you so down? Cain tells him. And God's reply was, you know, if you do that which is good, that which will emphasize, that which is right, that which I have instructed, you will be accepted. Isn't that what we all want? We want to be accepted by God. I don't care what the world thinks. Well, you're just not on the right acceptance patch or pavement with us. You know, we think you need to be a little more sensitive to this. That's what got us in this problem to begin with. And so he started looking at it and said, well, why are you accepting? Because God didn't ask for some of the fruit. He asked for the first fruits. It was that simple. No, I don't have it in writing up to that point, except for the fact that in the garden, they were not to touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That represented the first fruits. Nothing else ever had to happen. They took what belonged to God. God said, all right, now I'm going to require the first fruits from you. And then later God said, here, I need you to understand about this tithing thing. It's not necessarily a punishment. It was always about my blessing. Do you realize what they gave up in the garden, ladies and gentlemen? The workload was super easy. You didn't really have to plant. The berries grew. There were no thistles in what you were planting. The fruit trees all over, the herbs, the nuts, the seeds that you could eat. You just walked along. Oh, got a handful of cherries. Keep walking along. Oh, well, hey, you know what? Over there's a peach tree. I want a peach today. That is all you had to do. What am I going to wear today? Well, that's real simple. God figured it out for you at birth. Oh, guess what? We weren't staring at each other either. We were all like that. And there was no lust. No envy. Our bodies performed the way God created them. Think about that for a minute. There was no mixing of the bad genes in our bodies. One that gives us high blood pressure, the one that gives us high cholesterol, the one that gives us short legs. We had the right jaw lines, the right noses. Male pattern baldness didn't exist. Period. And neither do I think were we covered in hair like Esau was. I can't see how that's any kind of benefit. I'm a gorilla sometimes, man. I think of the guy on Malcolm in the Middle. If you ever saw the show, the dad had to be shaved every 2 weeks. They did it in the kitchen while the boys were eating breakfast. Because his body just grew so much hair. None of that existed. They disobeyed God, and all mankind still feels the repercussions. Well, brother, we're out of that curse, so you're telling me you don't have to go to work? You still got to go to work. Just our job was a lot easier back then. You know, we learned how to do things God's way. Speak. Just think about it. You could tell a mountain to move. It's what Jesus was trying to get us to understand. You can tell that tree to move. You know what, walnut tree? You're just in a bad spot right there. Well, put me where I need to be. Walnut tree, you get up and you go over there. Don't ask me if they got legs. I don't know. According to Lord of the Rings and all that stuff, they got legs. They get up and they move. But they don't. That's what Jesus was trying to teach us. We're just trying to figure out how we can do magic tricks. Man did figure out how to tell a mountain to move. We invented these boring machines. We invented dynamite. We move them just a hard way to do it. How do you tell a tree to move? Well, certain size trees you can dig up. How are you going to tell a sequoia to move? 300 feet tall. That's a big boy. And they were around the time Jesus was walking on this earth. Think about it. You know, Joe and him just got to, Joe and Faye got to see him, what, 2 years ago? Yeah. That's on my bucket list. I don't have a big one, but big bucket list, but that's on there. So if you do good, you will be accepted. If you don't, sin waits for you. Well, brother, I just don't know. He was envious because God accepted his offering, but not his own, and he kills him. He let anger rise up in him so bad that he took a rock and crushed his brother's skull. I painted that vividly so you could see what envy did. When we are disobedient to God, the bitterness starts its springing. Like I told you, I cut that years ago. There's 6 shoots on this thing. And there's plenty more, because it's almost impossible to get all of that root out. I got trumpet vines. They're beautiful. But when you trim one of the limbs, it comes back. I believe this plant has a soul. And it's a vengeful soul. If you prune a limb, it grows 100 of them all around it. I'm like, where did you come from? But when I dig one up and try to give it to Pat so he could transplant it over to his place, it doesn't want to grow. I don't know how many I gave him until we finally got something to take. It's growing now. Exactly. It's vengeful. And if you mow that one down, it grows more out further. How did you know? I did it. But we keep leaving a little bit of that root, and it festers. And then it just keeps growing. So the spot that I took off 2 years ago, right there at the corner of the garden area, I had it all trimmed up. And then we just started letting it grow up a little bit. I said, well, it looks kind of nice. And then I realized there's flowers under that. You can't see the flowers anymore. You can't see the pot because this thing had grown into a massive, unruly thing. And that's what bitterness does to us. When bitterness arises, we lose the feeling of acceptance by God. It's what happened. He allowed losing that loving feeling, and he got bitter because he no longer loved his brother. He hated him. And that's why years ago I taught you a message about hate. Everybody said, oh, hate sin, hate sin, hate sin. Don't even start playing. It's the same root. When you find ways to hate things, you will hate people real quick. You don't have to like what they do. I despise what some people do. But I cannot find the room to put hate in there, because when I find room to put hate, I push love out. And I don't care if they live or die. And that is not God. God cares whether any of us lives or dies. But guess what? He gave us a free will. We have a will. We can choose to live or die. By the way, God's acceptance never left. I shared Monday at the funeral, and I said, for those of you that think that you've sinned too much, that you've got too much sin in your life to come back to God, to cry out to him, understand there's none of us who has. I said, there's only one sin that he won't forgive, and that's speaking against his Holy Spirit. And I said, that's pretty much like you saying something about my wife. Them's fighting words. I will fight. You just keep, as Will Smith so eloquently put it, keep my wife's name out your mouth. And that's what God said about the Holy Spirit. But when we allow this bitterness, this root of bitterness to fester, we withdraw into a self-pity shell. Everybody's out to get me. You know anybody? They came to mind, I'm sure. We all know somebody. Because it goes back to something that started here. And it wasn't even the initial thing that they're mad about now. It doesn't have to be. It started here, but it kept compounding. And it got bigger. And it got bigger. The more we watered the plants that were around this area, the more those roots took. They're like, yeah, you got us this year. We're coming back. Because this is the new crop. And I cut them down a couple weeks ago with the tiller. The longer we stay in that self-pity shell, the more we spiral until we hit a point in which we cross a line never meant to cross. Cain stayed there. He could not let go of it until finally one day his anger got the best of him. His brother's out there with his sheep, or his brother may have been helping him in the field. We don't know. We just know they were out in the field. Cain picks up a rock and goes over and starts thumping him. He killed him. And because of that, he was cursed for the rest of his natural life. Old Testament, New Testament, it doesn't matter. It's fact. That does not change. You kill somebody today, prison, right? At the very minimum. Some states still have the death penalty. By the way, and that's all based off of your Bible. But if we don't keep sin in check, it will rule us. That's what God told Cain. Its desire is to rule you. And it did. He wouldn't keep it in check. He wouldn't say, you know what? I'm wrong. That is all he had to say. He just had to say, I'm wrong. Forgive me, Lord. Help me. But he didn't. He got mad and took it out on an innocent person. And that's usually what we do. I remember one day I was having a bad day at work. Somebody opened their mouth. Wrong thing to do that day. I quit. I'm driving down the road and I'm like, I got no job. I got no money if I quit. But I never left one job to go to another without having one. I have no problem with people bettering themselves. You find a better job, benefits, work situations, whatever. That's what you want to do, do it. I got convicted before I got off the property. I had to go back. And I told the person, I said, I'm sorry that I took this out on you. The person did start treating me a little bit different. And I went back to work. God made a way that I was able to leave a month and a half later. Because the situation did not get any better. And the job sought me out. But you see, folks, if I'd have stayed there any longer in that and not dealt with what was going on in me, it would have been bad. Things could have got worse. I've shared things with you about things that have happened in my life with people and, you know, things. Well, yeah, it could have gotten worse. It can always get worse. But if we deal with those little things, well, you know, this person did this to me. You need to keep forgiving them. Every time that person's face pops up and you feel your blood pressure climb. Y'all do that, right? You feel it. Kind of. You feel the Hulk trying to crawl out. Lord, I forgive them. Help them. See, when you can pray for somebody who has hurt you, they don't stand a chance. God can move in their life. I got people I've been praying for, and I've asked Lord to just give them the revelation of who He is and help them come to the end of themselves. Because, but for the grace of God, there go I. I just quit fighting sooner. I could have continued on being an alcoholic. I could have continued on. We wouldn't be together, I can about promise you. This wouldn't exist here. Well, God would have got, you know, it would have been somebody. No, this wouldn't exist. I'm an integral part of this. She's an integral part of this. And us together are an integral. We are a huge part of this. But if I'd have said, Lord, you know, I saw this. This pastor said this to me. This pastor, he was just a jackwagon. And this pastor had no idea what he was doing. Well, I understand that one. Because there's days I'm like, Lord, I still feel like a novice. I got 23 years under my belt. I remember in year one, like, I wonder what it's going to feel like 23 years later. About like it did in year one, just a little more confident in things. It's like, because God keeps challenging me to do things, to say things, to teach things that I had in my head because somebody had taught me 25 years ago that was no biblical backing, but just because we kept a rhetoric going, that there was no spiritual, there was no word backing to some of the messages. They sounded good, but I'm not a self-help speaker. Will I encourage you to do it? Yes, I will. I'll be your number one cheerleader if you need that. But I'll also be the guy with the combat boots on to kick you squarely in the seat of the pants and tell you to get up, quit laying there. Oh, boo-hoo, they did this to me. Yeah, you're not the first person, but you want to get back at them? That's what we all want, right? We want to get vengeance. First off, you need to remember God is the God of vengeance. He said, vengeance is mine. We all think that that's an evil thing, right? You know, so many of these hard rock groups kind of sing songs in similar fashion that the devil is the vengeful one. God is. Every person who's ever harmed you, God has vengeance. Every person you've harmed and you decided, well, I'm going to just keep on hurting people, vengeance is going to come to you too. All those people. Do you think Hitler got away with anything? No. Keep reading the book of Revelation if you really want to and see what happens to the Antichrist. See what happens to the devil. I read something in, and this is kind of off subject, but in Ezekiel 29 this morning about that when he was addressing the king of Tyre, which is not a physical earthly king. He was the spiritual force behind everything. And he was addressing the devil. And he said, and I made fire come from within your bosom, and it burned you to ashes. And it kind of hit me. The devil hasn't got a body. He was a being. He had a body. Now he's just a spiritual being. He can't be like the same angels. They could come and go. He used to be able to do that, but he can't anymore because God took that ability away. So all these things you see the world talking about, the big goat head thing, it's made up in their mind. The devil's a weaselly little imp who's got a few horns, and when I mean horns, an oboe here, a flute here, a trumpet there, and a trombone there. He was a walking band. Don't let any root of bitterness, something somebody's done, something somebody said, or even something I may have said. But you, if it's something I said, I'm on, or anybody said, I'll just put it this way. Re-examine what you said. We never look at what we say. I know when I look back, it's like, why did they answer like that? Well, because of something I said. And maybe they didn't mean it. Maybe they were just trying to snap me out of a funk. And I will warn you, there are days you will have a funk. I don't know how they get there. I'm like, you wake up in it. Folks, it got so bad, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed. If I did end up over on the other side of the bed, I made sure to roll over to my side so I got out on the right side. Didn't help. If you wake up in a funk, it's something the devil's trying to do. Don't bite on it. Forgive them, and remember, you may think, well, I dealt with that, and suddenly, ding, there's your bitterness coming back in full strength, because there was a part back here you forgot to deal with. And it's going to take some time sometimes, folks. I look back and I know the anger that I had. But I forgave them, Lord. Why is it back? Because the devil wants to remind you about it so that you'll let that root grow up. Because when that vine takes off growing again, it's going to cover your doors. It's going to cover your life. I have many people come up to me, they're like, man, I love your barn. My uncle down there, he's like, man, I just love your barn. They don't have big barns like that down there. He's just, every time I love your barn. I'm like, so do I. But if we had not cut all that bittersweet off, it would have ruined that barn. Don't let the root of bitterness take in your life. It will rule over you until you destroy everything you love. Let's stand. God's not finished with any of you yet. Don't think, well, I have attained. You ain't got squat. You just finally got a revelation in an area that some other person's already had. That's what I've learned. I've said something, well, yeah, I was there 20 years ago, but then I can say something like, wow, I never thought about that. Go figure. We're different people. We get things at different times. Sometimes it's not necessarily fair to put, you may think that kids of the same age, and you teachers, you'll know this, they aren't all developing at the same time. Their brains are on different levels. And you that deal with boys in their teens, their brains are almost non-existent. I'll just tell you, as a former teen boy, our brain, we're just walking hormones. So, yeah, I apologize for all of us. But it's not going to stop it. I've learned actually more because of what the teachers were able to instill. I've learned it after growing up, maturing a little bit, experiencing life. She loves to read. She can learn it just by reading. Me, I got to bang my head against it a couple times. Oh, I get this now. But I get some of it. Don't be getting down on yourself because, Lord, I just don't feel like I'm getting it. First off, ask God where you disobeyed him. And go back to that point. Nobody wants to go back. Well, that's going backwards. No, that's actually going forward. You're fighting in a different direction. See, everybody, I want this R word. Marines don't retreat. We just fight in a different direction. There was one unit in the Marine Corps in World War II that retreated. They no longer exist because they didn't fight. They just ran. I'm not telling you to run. I'm telling you to go back to this point where you can regroup and keep fighting. Keep fighting. Lord, I forgive them. I do not want this bitterness. Because Jesus is the one that taught us that if you hate your brother, that's why I tell you not to worry about hating anything. If you hate your brother, you're the same as a murderer. Think about it for a second. He just said, you're Ted Bundy. John Gacy. Men who did terrible things to people. All because you hate the brother sitting on the other side of the church. Or you hate a brother that's in another church somewhere else. You can't hate. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that you're the great gardener as well. Father, you know right where those roots of bitterness lie. Father, I pray for all of us, Father, that you point them out to us. Father, that may we have the courage to accept your direction, your pruning. Father, even if there's things that we're holding on to because that we've identified it with this for so long, but Lord, it is destroying us. It is destroying our legacy as a godly person. Father, move in our midst. Change the things that we cannot change, Lord, as we surrender them to you. But Father, those things that we need to pull the axe out and cut away, give us that strength. Give us that wisdom. And Father, we thank you for your word, how it corrects, it leads us, and it makes us to grow and strengthens us. Father, may we all experience that. Now, Father, I thank you for your people. I bless them, Lord God. I know, Lord God, as they trust you, they step out in your ways, Lord, that you will begin to move. You will begin to show them just how faithful you are. Lord, I thank you once again that you're blessing them. In Jesus' name, amen.